You're listening to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community. Welcome back to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the scene and the tracking community. We're your hosts. I'm Brian, this is Ed, and we are long overdue for an episode. I'm glad we're back in the saddle.
Yes, there's been just a lot of different circumstances between both of us kind of preventing us from recording this show. But finally, we are back on the horse, riding towards the 8-bit square sun, and happy to play some chiptunes for you guys.
Yeah, I know. It feels like it's been forever since I talked to you. We talk just about every day.
Yeah.
And then we've been so busy in our normal lives that we haven't really had a lot of dialogue between each other, regardless of the show. So it's great that we're finally able to kind of chat about some music and kind of get back into the swing of things. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, we've been sending text messages back and forth. Every once in a while, it was like, I miss you.
Anyways, yeah, so we got a great show lined up today, and we're going to be listening to basically a kind of a random selection of, scene tracks that we picked out. You know, today we're not doing any themes, anything like that, because we have a format-focused spotlight coming up next. So today it's kind of all, free picks and just a lot of good stuff, I think, in the mix.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff that I personally have come across during our little hiatus there that I kind of put aside so that I could share in the next show. So I'm confident that a lot of my picks are going to be some quality stuff today.
Yeah, and my picks are the same way. In fact, I found, I think, all of these, maybe one I had heard about before, but I think the other ones for sure came up just in the last month that I was like, oh man, this would be great.
Cool.
So that track that brought us in to start the show off was called Chip 7. And it was composed by Saxon Pike, better known as Sanction 7, from Cyanide. And it's an 8-channel XM file at 29 kilobytes. This track was released in 2005. What I like about this, too, it has a lot of really classic kind of demo scene sounds. But that breakdown, when it gets slow and you hear the bells, that's what kind of made my ears perk up. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. This, I wasn't expecting that. And then it kind of goes right back into that kind of frantic adrenaline rush. And overall, just a really fun track. Nice and short, too.
Yeah, and visually, it's pretty cool to watch as well, because if you're, if you're watching it in a tracker, you see the tempo and the roll slow way, way down. And then with those kind of those descending notes, doot, 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 each one is on a different channel. So you get to
see
all the lights in each channel kind of like pop up in succession, kind of like going back and forth. It was kind of a visual treat as well as an audio one. That was pretty cool.
Now, I do have a little critique. I think that maybe those bells were the samples were a little bit too loud. They could have been a little softer. I'm listening to it through OpenMPT. I think you are as well, right?
Yeah, yes.
Just felt that they might have been a little bit too loud, but really the whole track is awesome. And so, minor little thing I noticed, but otherwise really cool.
Yeah, very, very cool.
So Saxon Pike, I don't think we've had any tracks from him on the show. He's better known as Sanction 7. His real name is Tony Konzel, and he's an American chiptune artist from Madison, Wisconsin. Again, we don't have a lot of Americans grace our presence on this show much.
Yeah, they're pretty rare.
Yeah, so anyways, he was a member of Titan but more recently a member of a German-based demo group called Cyanide. And he's released about 15 or so albums on Bandcamp. You can go, it's like, he has like his whole backlog of stuff in album format, and you can purchase that. I think the most I saw one was like $6 or something. So very reasonable. And he's got a lot of really good music out there. On his site, he actually says, you know, this music is my outlet, my freedom. It's a stream of raw inspiration and expression. I write it for myself, love it or hate it. The music's out here just in case. So I like that motto. And it just sounds like he's having fun doing it. And it's kind of like a side thing for him, I'm sure. So, but I got to say, you know, for even a hobby thing, he's pretty darn good at it.
Yeah, especially since he's just making music for himself. He's not kind of, you know, kowtowing to what other people want him to do. I kind of really respect that, especially since he can make really good music and not write it for his audience, just write it for himself, but still make it kind of accessible to the masses. That's really cool. Is he still making music currently?
He is. I didn't see anything in the last few years, like recent stuff, but he's been doing, I mean, he's really been in the scene for many, many years. And, you know, the fact that even if he goes on hiatus for, you know, a few years here and there, it seems like he kind of zips back into it and does, you know, a few releases, and then he kind of ducks out for a little bit. So I'm not exactly sure where he is on that spectrum, but I want to say that he definitely hasn't given up on it.
Very cool. Well, hopefully we'll hear more from him in the future.
I think so. There's actually a lot of tracks by him that I've really liked and listened to over the years. So I hadn't heard this one, and I was like, wow, this is a great one to throw in the show. And it's a great one to start the show, because I think it really showcases, we like to come in sometimes when we can with something that's really demo scene strong, and the force is very strong with this one. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you got next for us?
Next up is a track called Not, and it is by Muttley of Dual Crew and Shining. So let's give that one a listen. And we're back. That was a track called Not by Muttley of Dual Crew and Shining. That was a 4-channel mod file at 117 kilobytes released. I'm not sure of the actual release date. It was uploaded to Mod Archive in 2008, but there aren't any dates in the notes or anything. But this one's a lot of fun. I love how it feels so almost loose and improvisational, even though it's a tracker tune. It's a lot of fun.
Right. You know, that guitar actually kind of cracked me up because I soloed it out for just a second, and it almost sounds like it's not playing anything. It's just kind of like strumming just randomly. It doesn't sound like there's no rhyme or reason for some of the notes that are hitting, but it works. It sounds so clever kind of put together like that.
Yeah, like a bunch of dudes just jamming on stage, and everyone's kind of playing their own thing, but they're all kind of, you know,
somehow in
harmony
cadence.
Yeah. I do think this song kind of suffers from some low quality sample-itis. I would really like to hear this, like, maybe remastered or something. You know, a lot of that bass, guys, I really like kind of a static behind it. It can get a little grating, but that piccolo flute solo and the organ solo sound really cool.
Right. I was going to say, on the flip side of that bass being crunchy, that flute almost, it's almost like a whistle. It sounds like it has a much higher quality sample than the other, you know, the other samples. At first, when I heard that, it's very faint because it'll play maybe like after every two bars or so, you'll just hear like this little whistle, like, and then it'll like go away.
Yeah. Little trills.
Yeah. It won't like make its appearance again for a while. And then it creeps back in and you get more, you know, more and more into it. And then, you know, suddenly it goes into this whole kind of breakdown. But man, I got to say that organ solo was killer. That was, it's subtle too. I think that's what was the key for me on that. It was subtle, but it was doing something really wild. It wasn't the main, it's almost like it wasn't the main focus, but it definitely was kind of the key factor in the sound. I think that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. So the way I found this track was actually kind of funny because maybe about a week ago, so you know that new, like, Twin Peaks is having a revival. So season three is airing right now.
Right.
And our friend Aaron Hickman, otherwise known as Daya, who we've had on the show before, he's a big fan. And he doesn't know anyone else who's a fan besides me. So he'll regularly, like, kind of message me on Facebook and we'll chat about it. So he messages me with a link to a track called Sick that was also by Muttley. And it was an original composition, but it kind of incorporated little bits and pieces of the theme song to Twin Peaks. And he's like, this is really cool. You should check it out. And it was a cool track. So I was like, oh, I've never heard of Muttley before. So I started kind of checking out some of his other tracks on Mod Archive.
Going through his tunes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I found this one and I was like, wow, this one's really cool. So I decided to throw it in. And I'm glad I did because it grows on me every time I hear it. It's just really cool.
I had never heard this before. And that was super fun. That was a lot of fun to listen to. You know, I just enjoyed kind of watching it and seeing kind of like in the role what was going to happen next. And just very clever composition, I think.
Yeah, cool stuff. So Muttley, his real name is Bryce G. Elder, and he is a native of Scotland. He's also gone under the handles White Noise and also just Bryce Elder, so you can find other tunes under those names as well. I don't know too much about him. There wasn't a whole lot of information as far as timelines go, but he was a member of Dual Crew and Shining, Dual Crew by itself, Ghost, Magnetic Fields, and Relay. So he's been around to a couple different groups.
Yeah.
And that's really all the info I've got on him. He's got, I think, like something like 28 tracks that are available on various websites, so he's worth checking out and seeing what else he's got in his collection.
Yeah, very cool. Is his other stuff kind of similar to this? Is it this kind of style or this kind of genre?
Some of it is, yeah. Some of it's more on like the traditional chiptune-y style, but then a lot of it is also... The one that Aaron sent me, the one that was called Sick, has more of a country flair. This one's got kind of a funk country, but the other one was like almost kind of a straight country flair. So I think, you know, even though he's from Scotland, it seems like he's like really into American music because it just screams Americana all over it.
Oh, big time. Very cool track. Cool. I mean, I'd never heard of this composer before, so awesome. You ready to move on to the next one?
Absolutely. What you got next up?
Okay, the next track I have is a Sid track. It's actually from Mitch and Dane of Crest. It's called Listen and Learn. Let's take a listen.
And learn.
I knew you were going to say that, too. All right, let's check it out. Thank you. right, that was Listen and Learn, composed by Mitch and Dane from the group Crest. This is using the 6581 SID chip, and it was released in 2005. And this was released actually at The Party, an annual Danish demo party that lasted from 1991 to 2002. And this specific release was for The Party 5, held on December 29th of 2005. And it ended up taking first place.
Cool.
Yeah. This track, the reason why I picked it, well, first of all, I think it's awesome. You really get that very traditional classic Dane funk in the beginning. It's very clean, very skippy. I don't know, it just has a lot of attitude in the beginning. And then when you get into the slower part towards the end, the bass actually kind of takes on a new role. And you don't get the same kind of funk, but you get this, I guess, this kind of almost, it's almost like a new track. I don't know how well they actually mash together, but somehow it works.
Yeah, this is the second track that you picked so far that like starts off really fast and then kind of like has a personality change and it gets really slow again. But yeah, that bass tone is really warm and it really kind of contrasts with those very bright arpeggios that play over it. I really like the contrast. I think they fit very, very well together. There are a couple little cool bass licks where it goes up into the higher register in a couple places that I really, really enjoy. And their bass sound is great too, because even when it gets higher up, it doesn't distort or crack or anything like that. So they really knew what they were doing when they put these sounds together.
Yeah, you know, so I found this actually, it's kind of funny. I found it by accident. So what I was doing is I was texting somebody. I was on my computer and was texting somebody and I was starting to type in the text. I was writing in Learn or something. And I looked and nothing was showing up, like no text was showing up. And I was wondering where my cursor was. And it was actually in my SID player. And so it had filtered the results based on what I typed. And this track was in there and I saw it was Mitch and Dane. So I was like, oh, I got to check this out. I haven't heard this track before. And lo and behold, it was awesome. So I was like, well, got to add this to the show.
That's fate right there, dude.
It was fate. It was meant to be in the show. So we've talked before about different artists collaborating on a track. And we kind of always wonder, like, I wonder who did this or, you know, did they do some of the channels or how does it actually work? Well, the still info for this track actually kind of describes it a little bit. It says up until 2 minutes and 16 seconds. So basically that whole funk intro there, that's Dane. That's all his work. And you can kind of hear that from listening to his other music. You can tell that that's really his kind of style. At that point, the slow segment of the song starts. And that was where Mitch started working on it. And so that's kind of all his contribution to the track. And what happened was they ended up doing it the night before the party. I hate saying that name. The party. And because it didn't originally have a music compo for the C64, I guess. So what happened was the C64 guys, they got together around a TV set with these speakers that were just blasting, and people who were able to actually contribute something and make something for the party, they played those, and this tune, their first release as a team, ended up taking first place. So
that's,
I thought,
really
that was
cool.
Kind of a neat little story. And yeah, it was their first time actually doing something together, but they've done like 10 or so more releases as late as 2008. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
That's very cool. It must be, you know, kind of validating to have, you know, your first work take first place in a compo. And I guess that's the glue that kind of stuck them together for the rest of their, their friendship. That's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So Dane, we've had him on the show before. We actually played a track called Kiss My Jazz on our jazz themed episode 21. His real name is Stellan Andersson. He's a Swedish composer, programmer, and graphic artist that I believe is still a member of Booze Design. Not quite sure because his latest release doesn't really say any affiliation, but he was previously a part of Crest and Triad. He was quite active from 1992, pretty much all the way up into 2013, and then he took a brief hiatus and made his return this year, his musical return, at Datastorm 2017, releasing a tune called Intertwined with LFT that ended up taking second in the C64 music compo. So, I mean, and that combo together is another just amazing pair. So hopefully we'll get to hear some more stuff from them. But he's got so much stuff out there, really, like nearly 200 tracks in the High Voltage SID collection. The guy's a beast.
Awesome.
And he produces awesome music.
And it sounds like it works well with others, too.
Yep. Mitch, on the other hand, his real name is Michael Nielsen Vonderberg, and he's a Danish composer. Also goes by the name or the handle Yankee or Mick. He was a member of Crest, Hype, and previously Cyberzound Productions. He was active in the scene, but mostly as a contributor to Disc Mags from 1990 to about 2011. After that, though, he kind of fell off the map, and he didn't really produce stuff. Maybe he's using a different handle that I don't know about, but that's pretty much all the info I got on him.
Cool.
Yeah, but anyways, regardless, Dan and Mitch, look at their other productions, because they've got some really great stuff that they've done together. Really cool collab duo.
Awesome. And I'm glad that you picked a Sid track for a change, because I didn't pick one. Usually I pick at least one per show, but I did not. So right. I'm glad that we at least got some Sid stuff in the show today.
At least got some appearance. Right, right. All right. So what do we got on the lineup?
Next up, instead of doing a Sid track, I actually picked an NES track. So this one is called Boom Junk, and it is by Chibi Tech from the music disc Years Behind from the Retrocoders. Back, that was Boom Junk from the NES music disc Years Behind, released by the Retrocoders. The composer was Chibi Tech, and the NES ROM you can find this music disc on is 65 kilobytes. Boom Junk, I think, is the perfect name for it, because I have not heard NES bass that low. That is insane.
You know, when I was listening, I kind of had to crack a smile, because This is totally, I could peg this as a track that you would pick.
Yes.
Like, this is a total Ed track, and you can hear the Fallen influence. You can
yep.
hear a lot of that. Just it just rings and just bleeds a lot of what I know you listen to and what you like. So I could have picked this out of like 1,000 tracks and been like, oh, that's an Ed track. excellent.
Yeah, it starts off with that heavy bass and that decent percussion, and then it rolls into that very, very Fallen style, like, guitar solo
mm-hmm.
With those harmonizing square waves, and then it just rolls right back into that bass again. It's kind of a short loop, but I didn't care, man. I listened yeah. to this, like, for a good 5 minutes straight and was just kind of entranced by it.
You know, I gotta say that buzz that stays persistent throughout the whole, you know, the whole track.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but that adds so much character. Without that, it would sound so flat and empty.
Yeah.
It just really gives it like this kind of this cushy, like stress ball kind of release to it. You kind of need that. I liked it though.
Yeah, kind of. It definitely fills it out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Chibi Tech, she's kind of ubiquitous in the chiptune scene. You know, she's all over Battle
God,
the Bit.
Yes.
She plays live shows. She is, I think, she's American Asian. She lives in Tokyo. She does most of her shows out there, but then she has come over to the States and Europe and played shows in both places too.
Right.
Her real name is Jalen Nisparas, and she's been around, I think, since 2003. This track was released in September 2003. It took the whole music disc itself took first place in the 8-bit demo combo at Mainframe 2003. I couldn't find much by her any earlier than this, but I, you know, she probably was before that, but she's still making music to this day, so.
Right. I think I first found out about her in the early 2000s, so I don't think it would have been before that.
Yeah.
It's probably the time that she got started and kind of developed, because honestly, she's been rocking chiptunes for a while now.
Exactly.
Not new to it, but yeah, excellent stuff.
Yeah, so probably 02, 03, something like that. She's composed music for a couple indie games like Wan Yan Slash, and she contributed one track to the 3DS version of Sega's Outrun. So it was one track from... They did two bonus tracks for the 3DS version of Outrun, one contributed by her and one contributed by really famous Japanese composer Manabu Namiki. So it kind of goes to show you she's right up there with these classic Japanese VGM composers, which is really cool.
You know, it kind of surprises me that she hasn't done more game audio.
Yeah.
It's so, you know, she's so intertwined with chiptunes and stuff. I don't know. Kind of curious.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, on her Bandcamp page and on her blog, she does kind of play up the fact that she does do a lot of video game composition, but I haven't really heard of many of the titles that she's done, so maybe some of our listeners might know and they can clue us in. But as far as this music disc goes, it's really cool. It's got like five or six different tracks from Chibi Tech, Memblers, and PhD, who were all in Retrocoders at the time. And this is kind of where Chibi Tech was just starting out. So it's kind of cool to hear her kind of original stuff. This is very simplistic compared to like what she has put out recently. Oh, yeah. Very recently, I remember I played a track from the 8-bit Music Power NES music disc, which came out. I have the actual Famicom cart. The sequel called 8-bit Music Power Final just came out. And there's a track from Chibi Tech on that music disc. And, you know, it's like 10 times more complex. And there's rolls and PCM channels going a mile a minute. And so, you know, this was cool to kind of see where she came from, kind of like the basics of her composition.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think, you know, to go with what you're saying about, you know, that, you know, the kind of the basics and now how things are getting more complex, I think people are really starting to take advantage in a good way, take advantage of those, you know, extra channels and the additions that we talked about in our NES episode, kind of ushering those in. And that's really because of the change of the software. You know, you didn't have the opportunity to really do that in early versions of Famitracker and stuff like that. And as the technology, as the software kind of progressed and developed over time, people started, you know, finding new use for these extra channels. And I think now, you know, you compare what we're listening to now, what's being done in like that kind of demo scene sphere on the NES, and you compare that with what was originally done, just like a night and day difference, the amount of channels and quality and just, I guess, overall tone to what's being made. It's really cool to see the progression.
Yeah, the original hardware does have its charm, though, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, really, like going in such a short span, too. I mean, you look at early 2000s, that really wasn't being done yet. And then not in the demo scene, you know, stratosphere, but like if you move up just 5 or 6 years, everything is taken a completely, you know, like done a 360. And so it's really interesting to kind of to see the progression.
Yeah, it's fantastic that composers can really do anything they can think of in their head now with this hardware. So it's really cool.
And I guarantee that, you know, 3 to 5 years from now, they're going to find something like, oh, look at this weird hack that you can do with the NES.
CD quality audio.
Yeah, you can make it do this crazy. Yeah, streaming audio, ADX, straight out of the, you know, the sample channel. I think we're a little bit of a ways from that, but you never know.
Just we'll finish up by saying that I am a huge fan of Chibi Tech and her work, and we definitely will be hearing more from her in the future on this show.
Yeah. So this next track that we're going to listen to, this is a little more classic scene sounding. This is my last track of the day. It's called Synergy Part 1. I couldn't find Part 2, so this might just be the only Synergy. So let's just call it Synergy, composed by Bit Arts, and it's a 4-channel mod file at 161 kilobytes.
Right on. We'll be right back.
right, that was Synergy, composed by Bit Arts. It's a 4-channel mod file at 161 kilobytes, and this was released December 28th of 1991. This track, it has, when you first listen to it, I think you would notice there's a lot of repetition, but at the same time, there's also a lot of hidden like ear candy in there that you really have to listen carefully. And I think the track was designed, at least to me, when I heard it, I kind of glazed over it, and then I heard it again, and I was like, wow, there's a lot going on that I wasn't really picking up on, and that's why it spoke to me, and I thought it was a great candidate for the episode.
First thing I thought was Castlevania in space.
I can see it.
Especially with those bump up, bump up, bump up, bump up, like the Yngwie Malmsteen style, like finger tapping guitars.
Yep.
Mixed with those kind of very arpeggiated synths in the background. Mm-hmm. Second thing was, I was kind of just not really paying attention to what was going on the computer screen, just listening to the music. And then once I finally looked at the tracker roll, I was surprised to see that it was only 4 channels. I felt like this was easily like a 6-channel or an 8-channel mod. So really good sample manipulation and management on this track. It sounds very, very full for a 4-channel mod file.
Right, and the stereo separation is actually really clever too. The way that certain samples would be introduced in one ear and then they'll kind of move over to the next, and it'll kind of trick you to believing that you've heard it, but he might tweak it a little bit and make it sound a little bit different. And so I think when I heard it, over and over, I'd listened to it, several times on the drive. I was trying to pick out new kind of instances of the same sample being played. And kind of when I was doing that, I started realizing, I was like, wow, this is really clever. There's really a lot going on. And each time it kind of goes back into that kind of, I guess you could say, chorus, that dun, 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 dun. And then it flips and it switches into this kind of new, kind of like almost like a saw just running across a tree in a different direction every single time. And it just, I don't know, I just thought it was clever and very fun track to listen to, especially. And I personally feel it was designed to make you think about the music while you're listening to it.
Yeah, it does remind me of a lot of like the tracks that play during like introductory cutscenes on like Sharp X68000 games, where you spaceships docking and stuff, and then ships going out and shooting each other. It has that kind of a cinematic feel to it.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be alone, because this was actually featured in a lot of other demos. I think this is Grace, probably about 5 or 6 at least over the course of its history. It was featured in Turmoil, which was a demo by Sanity in 1991, Choice of Gods by Holocaust in 92, some other demo that I can't pronounce by Adrenaline in 1992, and then again for a mod compilation by the Admirals in 1983, and then a few other spots that kind of made its way and poked around in other demos. But people love it, and I think there's a good reason. It kind of has that lingering kind of dangerous feel to it, but then very complex at the same time. Bit Arts, I don't believe he's made an appearance on our show yet, but now he has. So his first name is Robert Roker, and he's a German composer. He's been in a few different groups. There's Brainstorm, Complex, Exact, Proton Limited, Sanity, The Clumsy Creepers, TCC Design, and TriStar and Red Sector Inc. But I don't know much about him other than that. There's not a whole lot of information to go off of. I've kind of checked all the usual sources, and he's kind of just got his name there, and that's about it. But I think he's pretty well known for this track and quite a few others.
Cool. Does he have a lot of tracks to his name?
I looked, and there's about, I want to say Mod Archive might have like about 15 or so. I could be a little bit wrong on the numbers. Scene Music has about 30, maybe. It's weird. Every site that I've been to try to find info, everything was a little bit different. I'm not sure how much overlap. So I'd want to say there's probably under 40, under 50 tracks. So maybe not a ton, but I like his style. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I want to hear more from him for sure.
Yep. Anyways, so we're moving on to our last track of the day. What do you got for us, bud?
Last track of the day is called Back to the GBA Days, and this one is from DJ Maximum. It's a XM file. Let's take a listen. Thank you. All right, that was called Back to the GBA Days from DJ Maximum. That was a 12-channel XM file at 173 kilobytes, and that was released on April 28th, 2017, so not even just about a month ago from the recording of this show. Yeah.
Wow.
It's actually still in a competition. It hasn't been judged yet. It's in the Spring Tracks 6 competition on Battle of the Bits. So maybe we'll be able to give you guys an update on the Facebook group as far as how well this track did. There's already like an insane amount of entries in that competition. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh, man. This was killer, man. It kind of hit me like a wall of bricks, right? You know, in that first few bars there. Oh, man. At first, when you said GBA, I was like, oh, man, I'm getting ready for like just this really low quality, this kind of nasty hum of noise on top of everything that you could barely make. You know, it sounds like you're listening through your wall. No, but wow, what a dynamic and fun, energetic piece of music. Very cool.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way. It starts off kind of flat, you know, it kind of feels like you might be listening to it on an actual handheld. And then that bass and that percussion comes in, and you're like, whoa, same thing. Like, I was listening to you listen to it, and you were like, oh, as soon as that. Which was almost the exact same reaction I had when I first heard it. So he did a really good job. It's a really catchy melody. You know, it's nothing that's, like, groundbreaking as far as composition goes, but just what he did with the sounds and how he... There's, like, three different types of instrument sets that he uses. Each one is kind of like a different facet of what Game Boy Advance games sound like. So he kind of researched that and then threw it all into one track. It's really cool.
Yeah, I really like how the Game Boy startup tone like kind of falls in there towards the end. It's like dee, ding, and then he goes into this new section. It's way clever. Way clever. I like that.
Yeah, kind of took advantage of those legacy Game Boy channels that the Game Boy Advance uses, but that's for a different episode.
Yep.
So a quote from him on his Battle of the Bits page is, I use Milky Tracker for my fake chip stuff, but sometimes I emulate sound chips from obscure video game systems that not many people heard about. So he's also got some stuff from like ZX Spectrum with the Turbo FM edition on it. So it's like the YM2413 plus a YM2151. Like he's got a bunch of tracks that kind of mix and match different chips. So it's not fake bit. He's just coming up with unique theoretical video game machines and kind of creating music with these different chips, probably in Deflamask or something similar to that. So he really enjoys that stuff.
We had a track from him on our NES episode.
Yeah, Spring Tame.
Yep, and that he was using just the 5B, I think it was. And that was super clever too. So he's really thinking about the hardware when he's doing his compositions. I like that.
It's my kind of guy.
Yep, my kind of guy too. Awesome. Well, I wish him luck in this competition. I hope he does. I hope he gets at least ranked pretty high because it's incredible.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know a lot about the man himself. He does have a couple of... he's got a chipmusic.org page and he's got a Twitter account, but it doesn't really say much about where he's from or his real name or anything like that. So he enjoys his anonymity, but he's a fantastic composer and he really knows his hardware. So he's definitely one to watch out for.
Yep, and I'm sure he'll make an appearance again. It's just a matter of time. I think we said the exact same thing back on episode 25
when
we featured his track, that he'd show up again, and sure enough. So, awesome. Anyways, thank you guys for listening to the show today. You know, it's been a while. We had a good 6 weeks off that we needed just some, you know, personal space, and now we're back and hopefully on a regular schedule again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you like the show and you want to know more about it, you can visit us online at impulseproject.info, and we're also on Twitter at impulsecast.
Right, and you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/impulseproject. We post all our shows. That's kind of our main hub as far as communication goes, so you can check us out there, leave a comment on the show if you like it. Put up your own stuff if you're a composer yourself, comment on others, or just post stuff that you really enjoy. Thank you everybody who has been posting on the Facebook group while we've been gone. We've definitely both been checking it out and liking and talking to you guys. So
right, and you know, there's a lot of really great parties down the road scheduled, some that we want to look at and maybe do some feature stuff on, so keep an eye out for that. And you know, we'll post anything that comes our way, and you guys do the same. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show and hope you enjoyed it. We're glad to be back and we'll see you in a few weeks for the next episode.
Yeah, we'll have a chip spotlight for the next episode. So those are always fun.
That's right. All right, take it easy, guys.
Bye-bye.